Hey guys, welcome back. Today we will be talking about heuristics as a part of this epistemology series. But before we get to that, I just wanted to touch on what recently we have had on this podcast, which is two different debates, actually. First was my chat about miracles with Ryan Price. And I thought that was, we ended up having a really interesting discussion. One interesting thing about that discussion that I would want to probably correct going forward is we actually didn't spend a ton of time talking about, does this extraordinary stuff actually happen? And I think there's really good evidence that it does. But instead, we spent most of the time talking about, is it even philosophically possible to define it as a miracle, regardless if it's happening or not? Like, for instance, if blind people are being healed so that they can see. So to me, it's just unfortunate that we aren't actually discussing, are there actually hundreds of documented cases of blind people receiving sight after prayer, which there are in the data I am aware of. So anyway, it's just funny to me that we end up discussing philosophical abstractions rather than, wait, it's pretty significant if this stuff is happening, period, even if there somehow is a natural explanation. And it's particularly striking if it's happening primarily or only after Christian prayer. So anyway, that would be my focus if I did another sort of debate like that, is try to keep it on topic of like, wait, is this stuff actually happening? Because if it is, that's pretty crazy right there, regardless of what the cause is. And then the other debate was about theories of justice. I thought Brandon and I had a great exchange there. It's definitely a confusing, sometimes abstract topic itself. So I don't think anyone came away from that discussion feeling like they were totally sure what they thought. But I had a lot of fun, and I think we had some good dialogue. Finally, one thing I was going to mention that is very relevant to all this sort of stuff is that I'm reading this book currently, Inference to the Best Explanation, by Peter Lipton. He's a philosopher. This is considered one of the best, he's considered one of the best epistemologists of the 20th century, I heard. So my mom got this for me for my birthday. I did ask for it. It wasn't a random gift. But anyway, it's very relevant, and I think actually Inference to the Best Explanation is one of the key ways we do epistemology. So I'm going to have another podcast about that very topic. But anyway, I thought I'd mention that since it's very relevant to this topic. So yeah, we're going to be talking about heuristics today. So to give a basic definition of what a heuristic is, it's basically a guideline or a rule of thumb. So the point of it is that it's not some completely sure and fast rule, a law, but it's a very good guideline that is most of the time true or largely true. You could define it as, ain't nobody got time for that, use a heuristic, basically. So, and the reason why I phrase it that way is because that is in fact why we use heuristics all the time, is the world is far too complex and we have such limited time that we don't have the time or the resources to dig deeper on 99% of what we're dealing with in life. And so we're constantly using very smart, most of the time, hopefully, very smart shortcuts to get our data about the world. And we only dig deeper where we need to. And just to give a very quick, easy example, if we want to know if we should go see a movie, we might ask a trusted friend who we know we have similar tastes. If we know they saw the movie, we ask them, what do you think of the movie? Or even, do you think I'd like that movie? And that can be an extremely good heuristic versus doing some sort of research or just simply spending the time watching the movie. So this is something we use all the time. and can be very good. And in fact, they work very well. And really, the very first thing I want to say up top is heuristics are indispensable. We use them all the time. They aren't optional because we aren't just robots that have been fed all the data of the universe. We perceive the tiniest amount of the data that is actually out there, and we have the resources, such limited resources to process it, that heuristics are just absolutely indispensable. And they're really more the majority of how we're reasoning and going through this world rather than the exception. They really are the rule, ironically, since a heuristic is not a rule. It's a rule of thumb. It's not a law. So what's really frustrating to me is that I feel like heuristics are actually not talked about very much. In fact, if you watch any sort of debate, like atheist versus Christian or any intellectual debate, usually they're not using heuristics. They're trying to formulate things in a very precise deductive argument. And a deductive argument is one where it is a law. In other words, if it's a valid argument, then the conclusion logically follows inescapably. And so that's not a heuristic. It's sort of the opposite of a heuristic. It's something that's airtight. And so it's understandable why people want to talk about deduction. And it's because it's precise, it's airtight, if it's valid, and it gives you something. Since it is precise, it's good for debate because you can pick apart individual premises and all that sort of stuff. But what bothers me is that, like I said, most of the time we're actually not using deduction, and it's not even proper necessarily to use deduction for a lot of our reasoning, just because we don't have necessarily all the premises or they're not all 100% nailed down. And so we're using a lot of probability and kind of fuzzy logic and intuition about rules of thumb. And that's fine because that is how we do most of our reasoning. So what bothers me is, for me, I want to focus on the tools we actually use in epistemology. In fact, in this book, Inference to the Best Explanation, he talks about how there's really two problems of reasoning. There's the problem of justifying a form of reasoning, but the problem most people might not think of is the problem of describing our reasoning, that it can actually be quite harder to even describe how we reason. And so, along those lines, that's why I want to talk about the tools we actually use. Like, we're using heuristics all the time, so maybe we should actually discuss that. And even further, it's even proper that we use heuristics. What I'd like to show is something in our reasoning that we all accept that seems very deductive, very airtight, very scientific. And when I say scientific, in this particular case, I mean scientific, kind of merely scientific. Like, we're not having to use heuristics. I want to show something that seems that way and actually show how we're using heuristics largely in it. And that's the view that the Earth is spherical and not flat. And technically, the Earth is more, I think, kind of egg-shaped. It's not exactly a sphere due to the tidal pull of the moon, if I remember correctly. But anyway, the point is, it's more like a sphere, pretty close to a sphere, and it's not flat. So you might. The reason why I point to that one is because people are probably going to say immediately, "No way, that is scientific. That's not a heuristic. You know, that is, if anything, it's scientific and even maybe deductive, or you can formulate a very strong deductive argument for." And on one level, yes, of course, it's scientific. But my point is, how does an average individual, actually reason that the Earth is spherical? And that's not based directly on science. The reason you or I believe the Earth is spherical is not because of a science experiment we conducted and came up with a very precise deductive argument based on that scientific result. At best, each of us did some experiment in middle school that gave evidence to the idea that the Earth was spherical, you know, about the stars or rotation or something like that. So, So really, what is the reason? Why do we believe the Earth is not flat? And it's because of really good heuristics. And first of all, it's because everyone seems to agree, including all scientists, that the Earth is not flat. That is a very strong heuristic. That is actually a great reason to believe the Earth is not flat. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is either somehow all of them are wrong, which is hard to believe for various reasons you can break down, or that it's a conspiracy. And a conspiracy, that becomes a problematic explanation very quickly. Like, why hasn't anyone cracked and given good reason to doubt that the Earth is spherical? It just gets really complicated. And furthermore, we're familiar with scientific textbooks that also agree that the Earth is spherical, and even if we didn't carry out experiments ourselves or just did like one, as like it said in like middle school or whatever, everything within those science textbooks, there was a coherency that the Earth was not flat and it was spherical. And so it all goes together, and we're using these heuristics about what everyone seems to think about it, what our own experience looking at the stars, images from space. That's another thing. Our heuristic implicitly tells us that would be hard to fake. And so it all goes together. In fact, it really becomes an inference to the best explanation. To go back to the book, what is the best explanation? Well, maybe it actually is spherical. But my point is the lion's share of our reasoning that the Earth is not flat on an individual level, on a my level, on your level, is because of these heuristics, not because of science that we personally did. So that's why I say heuristics are so important, because we can debate some really precise deductive argument about the shape of the Earth, but if someone comes up with some crazy clever argument to make it sound like the Earth is flat, are you going to immediately switch your view to that the Earth is flat? No, of course not. And why? Because the reason why you believe the Earth is not flat is because of these really great heuristics, not because of a deductive argument which could be overturned if someone clever enough tricked you one day by just coming up with a clever deductive defeater somehow. So anyway, that is just to kind of pull the wool off our eyes, that not that the way we hold our individual reasoning is based largely on these heuristics, and properly, because that is the way we should order things, because we can't go out and do all the science ourselves. It's physically impossible, really. So that moving on from there, where it gets confusing, and this is something that comes up in debates all the time, is heuristics versus logical fallacies. And as I titled this episode, or I'm planning on it, I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to phrase it, but I was going to title it something like The Surprising Virtue of Fallacies. And that's because heuristics can look like a logical fallacy. And really, it comes down to a pretty simple distinction. And this is something I want to try to get across in this episode, is that if a heuristic is used as logical deduction, then it's a fallacy. And just to clear that up, a heuristic is a rule of thumb. So if you try to pretend the rule of thumb is always true 100% of the time, in other words, you try to pretend it's a law, that's a fallacy. So let me give an example that'll clear that up. Let's say you have a friend that often exaggerates when they tell stories. Now, they come to you and tell you a new story, and it's pretty outlandish. Is it reasonable to think that they are exaggerating? I think all of us would say, yeah, it is pretty reasonable to say that. And that's a heuristic, that's a rule of thumb. Now, that immediately becomes a fallacy, specifically an ad hominem fallacy, you could formulate it as, to say, since this person has exaggerated in the past, therefore, what they're saying now is also an exaggeration. That therefore is too hard and fast. You're making it a law. You're making it logically deductive that if they have exaggerated in the past, therefore this is an exaggeration. Now that's of course not true. And The Boy Who Cried Wolf is exactly a story illustrating that, that just because this person had lied in the past doesn't mean it's a lie now. But it is a good rule of thumb. So that's why it gets confusing. Like, is it a fallacy? Is it a heuristic? It has to do with how it's being used. If it's used as a heuristic, it can be a very valuable piece of information that the person usually exaggerates, that this thing usually happens this way. It just depends how you're formulating it. If you're saying it's a law when it's not a law, then it's becomes a fallacy. When you say, because this person is not trustworthy, we shouldn't trust this statement ever. Like, we can absolutely discredit this statement. Then that's an ad hominem. That's a fallacy. So basically, what bothers me is a lot of times in debates, someone will be appealing to a heuristic, like an appeal to authority. Appeal to authority is saying, like, well, most scientists say this, or most scholars say this, and that's a fantastic heuristic. But a lot of times the opposing side will say, that's a fallacy, it's an appeal to authority. But it's only a fallacy if you say, because this authority said this, therefore it must be true. And you're trying to make a law out of it. And it's not a law, it's not a logical deduction, it's a probabilistic one, it's a heuristical one. And it can be a very powerful one. And that's where it gets really interesting. And this is maybe the key point of this episode. A lot of times, contrary to what most people might think, a lot of times trusting a heuristic is far surer ground than trusting a logical deductive argument. And that sounds backwards because the deduction is the one that's airtight, right? But the reason is to come up with a successful deductive argument. First of all, you're never going to be totally sure of the premises. Like, that's basically impossible. Anyway, so, but to come up with a deductive argument, you're generally going to really zoom in and come up with this very narrow, precise argument. And that can be a very useful tool. It's a scalpel, basically, instead of a sledgehammer. And the problem with it is that you can become myopic. One of my previous episodes, I talked a lot about forest versus trees. And basically, a really precise, narrowed down deductive argument, or based on a very precise set of scientific experiments, you're really getting down to the tree level most of the time. And you can actually make more mistakes that way, or more easily make a mistake there versus focusing on the broader forest level. To take the example of the flat earth, someone could come along and give some clever deductive argument that if the earth was really spherical and we were spinning at the rate scientists say, then the centrifugal force would throw us off the earth and the math doesn't add up, therefore it's a flat earth. And maybe at first glance everything seems right, but if someone who actually knew more could come along, they would show you the flaw, which premise was wrong, or something like that. My point is, it's surprisingly easy to get one of those really precise arguments wrong, because you're looking at the weeds, you're in the weeds, you're looking at the trees, and so even though the trees are more precise, it's easier to get that wrong than when you're looking at the forest. And the forest is, could this all be really that big of a conspiracy, or could this many scientists be wrong? So there's probably a big question here of, like, wait, are you just saying to trust these broad feelings and forget the details? And of course not. I'm not saying that, because first of all, you have to start with the details to get anywhere. Like, the reason why we know the Earth is a sphere is because someone did work out the details. So the details are part of the equation. They're part of this whole stack of knowledge where the details is the zoomed in level. And some people spent a lot of time and energy at that zoomed in level. Part of the key is the people who have made the most progress there have spent a ton of time there. So we can be kidding ourselves if we think we can just dip our toe in and get an answer and leave. That could be more dangerous than staying at the forest level and trusting the results of the people who are experts at the trees. But I never want to say we should just rely on expert knowledge either. It's just that we need to go with a certain amount of humility when we go into the weeds. For instance, like I read all this scholarship about the New Testament, but there's constant this zooming in and out of me zooming in on some of this scholarly data, but knowing I'm not a scholar and I can only make so much progress there, and I have to lean on these experts a lot too. So, really, the conclusion here, I would say, is the best type of knowledge is knowledge that is consistent, that has a there's wide agreement at every Zoom level. And what I mean by that is back to the flat Earth, the highest out, the farthest out Zoom level is the heuristic. And the heuristic tells us that the Earth is indeed a sphere, because that's what everyone seems to believe, including the scientists. You zoom in a level to the science textbooks, so we're getting closer to the experiments, and those are also in agreement, and they're coherent, and they make sense, and it doesn't have this feeling of like something doesn't add up here, like this experiment doesn't really make sense. No, it actually does all make sense, and it makes sense with what we see up in the sky. So that all makes sense. And then if you go a layer even closer to the trees, and start doing some of the experiments yourself, it would also make sense. And if you actually have done some of those experiments, you can testify that. You can see the ship go drop below the horizon as it sails off. And so that's a more tree detail rather than a forest detail. So the best type of knowledge is when every Zoom level lines up. And I guess part of what my passion in this is it a lot of people who consider themselves very rational and smart, they think it's all about the trees. They think, well, okay, we have these precise deductive tools and we have science that has been done in this very precise way. So forget the forest, like we have all the trees. But there's just as I described really in the intuition episode, you really can't ignore the fact that we're dealing with a forest that none of us will ever see the whole of. We can't look at every tree. So we're kidding ourselves if we don't take into account the forest view. And once again, the forest view is a heuristic here. So when you get lost in the weeds, that is when you rationalize, when you make deductive mistakes. And you can go in really weird directions that really throw you off when if you stayed at the heuristic level or had a foundation at the heuristic level. It's not that you stay there exclusively, but that's your foundation, that you'd be protected from that. And conspiracy theories, once again, like the flat Earth, are one of the best examples. Conspiracy theorists can have these really clever sounding arguments. And guess what? They're all very precise. They're all about, well, this person said this, but they weren't there that day. And it's like, what does this mean? And but if you drop back to a broader look at it, wait, no, the conspiracy theory doesn't add up itself. So that's why the forest level actually is that important, that it's harder to make these key mistakes there. So in conclusion, I'm going to pick on both Christians and atheists here, and show how avoiding heuristics and staying in very precise deductive arguments can throw you off. So the first would be the Bible. I think a big reason that a lot of skeptics are skeptical of the Bible is because of a heuristic, and it's that this heuristic that wait, could this God really be moral because of these passages in the Old Testament? Or could all these contradictions be resolved? And they're using a broad heuristic of like, I don't know all the details, but I don't see how this could all add up at the forest level. And I think that's a very fair judgment. I think that needs to be dealt with at that level. And what the Christian tries to do, the fundamentalist, or just the, I mean, fundamentalists certainly do this, is they try to argue at this very detailed level of like, oh, this passage, well, there's this one Hebrew word that could actually mean this. And so therefore, QED, it's not a contradiction. And it's like, okay, I see what you're saying, but maybe it solves it in this one case, but what about the 100 other contradictions? And my point here is not to try to prove there are contradictions of the Bible. My point is trying to say that that might be the wrong tool for the job. We can't simply fine tune this one little issue and say, oh, it's all done, is that there actually is a reason to look at it broadly. And to pick on the skeptic, I think the exact same thing is true of miracles. And I probably brought up this point in the miracles chat. For me, looking at the miracles data, there is this broad viewpoint of something is going on here. This stuff is happening, and it really seems to be focused around Christian prayer and experience, and this stuff seems to be way more of a way higher magnitude than anything else I see anywhere else. And so it needs to be dealt with. And the atheists, it's their turn to go to the detailed level and say, well, there could be an explanation here in this one case. And it's kind of like, well, maybe, but then that's just this one case. So once again, I think if an atheist really wants to challenge the miracle claims, and I'm talking about a book like Craig Keener's book on miracles, which is very well documented and cited, it needs to be done at a more general level, and not simply dismissing one at a time in this, well, there could be a naturalistic explanation. So my point is, in both cases, people oddly escape into the trees. They hear an argument and they make a really precise escapist argument, and they can escape and they can rationalize. And so really, we need to be able to defend a viewpoint at the heuristic level. And if we can't defend at the heuristic level, there better be a really good reason. So basically, we should be able to defend why we're going against a heuristic. There should be a reason. That why is that rule of thumb wrong in this case? So anyway, basically, the word I want to get out is to not be afraid of heuristics. They are indispensable. We're using them constantly. We're using them far more than any sort of deductive, airtight argument. And they're a key part of the whole epistemological framework. Deduction is absolutely part of that, but deduction doesn't solve everything. And it's actually very hard to formulate everything in terms of just an airtight deductive argument anyway. So really use all the tools available, and the more agreement, more your argument is coherent at every level and in agreement with the data, the better. So know what tool you're using and use it well.